Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It is me, your boy Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host Rick Landis. How we doing, good buddy?
Doing much better. I was sick all weekend, so that kind of sucked. But we're on the other. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, which is good.
Actually, don't go towards it though.
Well, no, it's like the good light at the end.
Okay,
like,
all right.
Like it's like there's a fork, and like I see the bad light at the end of the tunnel and the good light at the end of the tunnel.
What's the bad
and,
light?
Like, I'm obviously going to go to the bad light, but like,
right.
Yeah.
What's the bad light look like? Is it like a
same as the good light? Like, that's the problem. Yeah. You never know.
A shot, really.
Yeah. Really. Ooh. So it's a coin flip. You know what I mean?
Why did you just have a coin available? Like that?
I have multiple shekels.
What
like
do you have? Doubloons? What's happening here?
So, story behind these, people can't see this, but we were in Disney like a month ago, and I saw these 50th anniversary coins, and I was like, ooh, that's super cool. I want one of those. But I only had my card on me, and there's the fine print on the machine that said if you use your card, you have to get all four of them, and I only wanted one of them. So I swiped my card, and it was like, here you go, and gave me all four of them, and I was like, well, that's not what I wanted to do right now. So now I just have four of these coins. So one of them is currently in my coin or my dice box for Magic, and I use it for that. And then I just have three other random coins here.
Man got way too excited for one coin and wound up with four.
I was like, one coin, that's a cool collectible. Like, I'll use it. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of these, but I'll figure it out. But yeah, I was sick. So things are looking up. It's for me anyway, my computer is having a horrible time right now.
Yeah, his computer
hopefully people
is battling.
Hear that on the microphone, but my computer is on its last leg at the moment. It might blow up while we were recording. So if you hear a bang and then I stop talking, that's what happened.
I can really imagine how it would go, because it would probably be like a pop, and like you would disappear from the call, and I'd be he's gone.
Yeah, that would just be what happens. And there's a good chance that happens. This computer is old. I got it the year before we went to college.
So 2014, that computer is almost 10 years old.
It's ancient.
If you know this, folks, laptops are not supposed to last that long.
No, they are not.
Gaming.
Thankfully, I barely used it throughout college.
Well, they gave us
did better work in the computer lab than our room. So
we had desktops, really, you know, in the computer lounge. Why would you bother using your laptop all the time when you have a desktop? But
yeah,
I gotta tell you, an almost 10-year laptop should be congratulated. That is a feat that the thing is
too, it's my first ever laptop. I got it as a graduation gift for college,
right?
And I've never had to get my own laptop. Like, never had to buy a laptop, and I only use it for this and for other things that, like, I don't really necessarily need it for. Like, I can use my phone. I should probably specify, just so that people don't get the wrong idea. I use it for nerd things, okay? Not what you guys are probably thinking based on my explanation.
I was really wondering if you were going to notice what you said.
I realized about halfway through that explanation that it definitely could have been taken the wrong way. That's not what I use it for. I use it for nerd things. Yeah, so that's I'm just gonna stop talking.
Good.
I'm just gonna stop talking.
You know, I can probably
how are you doing? Let's talk about how you're doing today.
Oh man, that's weird. Oh, I mean, I'm doing fine. The city of Philadelphia, maybe not so much.
It's a Philly thing. Get to the finals and lose.
making it all the way to a championship and losing is egregiously a Philly thing now. Nothing would be funnier, right? Because the Sixers do have like a chance. It's an outside chance, but a chance. Nothing would be funnier than, for some insane reason, the Flyers were like able to sneak into the playoffs and have some sort of majestic, magical run to the Stanley Cup Finals just to lose. And then the Sixers.
Listen, if the Flyers did that, that would be the most depressing one of them all.
Look, what's sad is the Flyers right now are the least disappointing franchise in the city, which is by far and wide one of the most confusing sentences I have ever said in the year of our Lord 2023, because they're supposed to be the disappointment. That's kind of how it's been going. But in reality, they told us earlier, they're like, look, we're going to be terrible. And that just is what it is.
And you're just going to accept it.
I can accept that. I'm okay with knowing that out of the gate, right?
Yeah.
Losing in the championships thing, man. Whoa. It's just becoming exhausting.
Yeah. The thing that stinks for the Eagles, too, is you can't even hang on the holding call at the end of the game, because James Bradbury even said it was a hold. Like, we all know it was a soft call. Like, obviously, it wasn't like an egregious hold, and we've seen way worse that hasn't been called. But it was still a hold, and the fact that the guy who committed the penalty came out at the end of the game and was like, yeah, I held him. I just was hoping that they weren't going to call it. That just destroys everything, unfortunately.
Well, the thing is, I think what is an important takeaway from how it went, A, the game was phenomenal.
It was a great
game to
watch.
Back and forth, shootout game, fantastic game.
Patrick Mahomes does drugs at halftime.
And whatever drugs he was on, dude, need me some of those. Because the post-game interviews with all the field, my man was zoinked.
Yeah.
He was spaced out. He was on another planet. I don't know. But I think the important takeaway here, it was the game was really good. How it ended is how it ended. That's just sometimes how football goes. But everybody, including, you know, Chiefs players, like, there were Chiefs players that I was like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a soft call, but like that's football. And the Eagles players at the same time were like, yeah, it was a hold. Do we wish it didn't get called in that specific moment? Of course. But here we are. We can't make up for the fact that Jalen probably shouldn't have had that fumble. Maybe instead of trying to, you know, exchange hands and attempt to throw a pass, maybe just run and they don't fumble the ball. There was a couple of defensive stops that could have happened. There were a couple of chances where the Eagles could have gone down and scored, but went three and out. There's so many different parts of the game
that
could have changed the tide and could have changed the final score. It's not just that holding call. And I think most Eagles players and coaches that I saw interviews from were saying the same things. It wasn't just that one call that determined the entire game. Soft call, but
there is.
Sometimes a soft call is still the right call, even though it's soft, you know?
Yeah.
Which in that case, it was. It was a hold.
Yeah.
Did it really impact the play all that much? I don't think so. But, you know, that's just a me thing. I'm not going to, you know, complain about it too much because it was a fun year of football to watch and the game was really good. So I can't really complain about that at all. But man, 0-4 on championships, because don't forget the Philadelphia Stars of the USFL also made the championship and lost. So that's.
And here's the thing. We should no longer be focusing on the outcome of the Super Bowl being good or bad, depending on your team. Obviously, the team that loses is going to be upset. What we should band together and unify as a country to change and make change is how horrendous these commercials are becoming. There hasn't been a good Super Bowl commercial in like 5 years. What happened to the Doritos Time Machine commercials? You know what I mean? What happened to the Budweiser commercials with the dogs and the horses? Why can't we have those back? That's why, like, people watch the Super Bowl specifically for the commercials. And, like, we have these ads where it's like, Tubi makes you think you're changing the channel. Pretty funny. Makes everybody go crazy. But, like, it's not the same as, like, a kid making a dude thinking he's in a time machine and taking his Doritos. Like, that's just funny. And we need that back again.
Yeah,
and that's something that people should be upset about, not the final call of the game that changes, that basically seals the game for the Chiefs. We should be pissed off that the commercials suck now.
And remember the Pug commercial with the Doritos when we ran
into
the screen? Fantastic.
Doritos
commercial.
Used to kill it.
Doritos had incredible commercials. I didn't see a single Doritos commercial this year.
I did. They did have one commercial for their barbecue chips. but it was more of just like a, hey, look at these chips that we have. Everybody loves them. It wasn't a funny Doritos commercial.
Doritos, what are we doing? Do we fire the people that are creative? What happened? Are we firing annoying folks now?
That's what we should be mad about, is the fact that the commercials suck.
Also, we should probably talk about the fact that, you know, Jesus is clearly down bad if he's...
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of Jesus ads.
If he's paying for Super Bowl ads?
More than one.
What are we doing here, bud?
Yeah.
Isn't the money from the church supposed to go to organizations to help others instead of a Super Bowl ad, perhaps? I don't know. Just is what it is, I guess. But that one was weird. I've kind of seen that a couple of times, but only on like local broadcasts. So I kind of thought that was like a local thing. And here we are on the Super Bowl, and it's just like, Jesus.
And there was like three of them. There wasn't even just one of them.
No, there was like a lot, like a handful.
Yeah.
So, and not only was I disappointed with the commercials, but, and I like Rihanna. I do. I like Rihanna. Relatively unimpressed. Other than the fact that it looked like Super Smash Bros.
Those are my favorite memes that have come out of the Super Bowl.
Phenomenal memes.
Yeah, she looked like she was in Super Smash Bros. We were watching it. It was me, Tom, and Mr. Reed. We were sitting in the one room together watching it. And we were like, she's definitely pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, and everybody else was like, no. Like, Sarah was like, she just had a baby 3 months ago. I was like, she is for sure pregnant right now.
That,
like,
does not matter.
You can, more than a month. Right? Like, more than a month or two in. Like, she is a few months in. And I found out, I didn't hear this beforehand, but I heard that she said there was going to be a special guest. And I'm kind of pissed that... either Tom Holland, I don't like him, but like, if when she started singing, what was it, All of the Lights? Was that the one that she started singing?
With Kanye.
That Kanye wasn't there for that. Like, come
you
on.
You knew they weren't bringing in Kanye, though, given what he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's not going to be there, but like, you can bring Tom Holland in for Umbrella. That would be amazing. Everyone would have loved that.
Be incredible. But, you know, her special guest was an unborn child. Kind of a cop-out.
The memes from that, though, as well.
Yeah, that's top notch. Those are killer. Those are killer. Yeah, you know, just very halftime show.
Yeah.
Remember when Creed did the halftime and they had this dude coming in flying with like white flags like an angel just through the stadium? What happened to that? What happened? There was pyrotechnics. You know, I get the stages were... we're moving and all that stuff, and that's all fine and fancy or whatever. But I just feel, are we getting old? Are these gripes that we have just us being old?
I don't think so. I think we just grew up with higher expectations for these halftime performances. Even last year, 50 Cent was upside down.
That was
cool. And we had 50 Cent, Eminem, Snoop Dogg. We had all these really awesome rappers. And like, don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing that she was by herself necessarily, but like, right. Just do something. You know what I mean?
Also, when you advertise a special guest, pardon me for being a little, you know, unimpressed when it's just the fact that you're pregnant.
Yeah. Like, I like Rihanna. Don't get me wrong. I listen to Rihanna all the time. But, like,
she makes an appearance on most of my playlists.
Very self-centered of her to just be like, hey, I have a special guest coming to get viewers and then just not have a special guest there.
I mean, really, it's not even... born yet, you know, it's not really a guest, it's more just another person that's hanging out with you.
This is just your pregnancy announcement,
yeah. Which is, I guess, fine to do during the Super Bowl halftime. I don't know, maybe a different time.
I'm not famous, so I don't know.
Yeah, I guess the fact is we aren't famous, so really,
famous people have different standards,
they have a different type of style to things, and that is mostly because they have lots and lots of money. But also, talking about the Super Bowl. Talk about the Kelce Bowl. Everybody was talking about the Kelce brothers and how cool that was. So it was after the game when they had met each other on the field, and you know, it was after the game. Jason apparently said, "Fuck you, congratulations." What would it be like? Think about having a brother. You're both professional athletes at the highest level, playing at said highest levels championship game. And lose to your brother, and or you win to your brother. How weird is it, right? Is it weird? I would feel weird.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely a weird feeling. I mean, the good thing is for them anyway, like as far as like how we feel for them is they both have a championship already, so it's not like that one of them missed out on getting their first championship while they lose.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was definitely fun. I wish I'm waiting for the day that we get siblings going actually against each other, like one of them's a DN and the other one is an offensive tackle,
right?
Like that's what I'm waiting for, and it might have happened already, I don't know, but not that I remember anyway.
Not that I remember.
It's probably happened. Yeah. I have a horrible memory, but
I mean, I guess, well, in high school, Jason was a linebacker and Travis was a quarterback. So I guess that was kind of the thing, but that's obviously back in high school. They're professionals now. It's different.
Yeah. Story. I want to see it on the Super Bowl stage.
Yeah. Now that would be cool. Like a, like a tight end DN situation. Ooh, left tackle. Right. Yeah. At the end.
Yeah.
All game long.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Mono. Give me
That'd be sick.
Yeah. The Bosa should have done that. And yeah. Both being ends. One of you should have been an offensive lineman. That's on you.
Or TJ and JJ.
Or TJ and JJ.
Or Derek should have just been better.
Yeah, you know, you feel – well, I guess, like, if we're talking backyard, right, if you have two of the best edge rushers in the league, I guess, well, JJ, formerly the best edge rusher in the league, you got to have somebody blocking in the backyard, right? I guess that's what Derek's thing was. That's why he was a fullback. He's really good at blocking. But just didn't have the size to be an offensive lineman.
Did you see J.J. Watt's tweet about retirement?
No, what did he say?
So I forget who tweeted it, but one of the like reporters or whatever tweeted about how Tom Brady's technically not retired yet because he hasn't filled out the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And J.J. Watt responded. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Where was it?
Did he say Tom comes?
He said, so Adam Schefter tweeted, he said, Tom Brady officially filed a letter today with the NFL, NFLPA, reconfirming his February 1st retirement. The letter silences any questions about whether he might return and now makes him eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2028. J.J. Watt quote tweeted it and said, I was unaware there was paperwork. Definitely not going to fill that out, but definitely retired.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because I think there's a lot of players in any sport that's happened where they've retired, and in reality, they've just they're an eternal free agent because they never filed for retirement with the league, so they're just a free agent until eternity, I guess, because they're just not going to get signed by anybody. But that's funny because really, who wants to do paperwork? You know, after.
But I feel like you wouldn't get your pension if you didn't fill out the paperwork.
Is that how that works, though?
I would assume.
I guess.
Yeah, JJ, I don't know. That's just like a year thing, like years out of the league. Out
that paperwork.
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be a year's not employed by an NFL team situation instead of that. But maybe fill out the paperwork, JJ. Maybe fill it out.
Maybe do that.
Yeah, so Philadelphia as a city is having a bit of a tough time right now. People are sad. Today was a very very low day in the city for those that were Eagles fans.
Good news is, though, pitchers and catchers report.
Pitchers and catchers is as of when this episode drops in 2 days.
Which is hype.
Which is huge, right? The pitchers and catchers is maybe one of the most exciting times for any baseball fan because it truly means from that moment until the middle/beginning of October. There will be baseball content. So for anybody that's a baseball fan, this is a big day coming up. Now, for those that aren't necessarily Major League Baseball fans, let's not forget that starting in March, it is the World Baseball Classic. Now, that is something that happens every 4 years, much like the World Cup. So that is some super fun stuff for those that don't necessarily like Major League Baseball. Basically, you can just give, I think it's either Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico. You can basically just give them the win at this point. Those lineups are redonkulous. Okay. I think it's the Dominican team. They are so good. That is an insane roster, but that's a story for a different time. But we are very excited as it is basically baseball season for those that, you know, are baseball football people. There's a lot of people in the United States who are mostly football baseball people. You know, and I'm a hockey baseball guy, and I do like football. But I'm a hockey baseball guy. So really right now is a pretty good time for me. Unfortunately, the Flyers are terrible, but that is what it is. But Phillies baseball is coming back. Just baseball in general is coming back. It's a great time because that always means warm weather. Thank God.
Oh, we got warm weather right now. Don't you worry about
that. That's true. It is a bit warm outside. I was golfing on Saturday, and it was a little cold in the morning, but it was pleasant by around noon. So
I was getting out again.
Yeah, well, you do because you.
I was really upset I couldn't get there last weekend.
Yeah, I need you to get back out there, big guy. We got a championship to win.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I gotta get that putter warmed up.
Oh, dude, I love it when your putter's hot. One of my favorite things is to watch you putt when you're on it. It's like 2-putt automatic, and even from 15 feet, he might 1-putt it. It's insane.
We're gonna have to talk about like the format and everything of the golf weekend at some point on here, just so that
yeah, for sure. We
keep everybody in the loop.
Yeah, we have to, right? We gotta keep everybody in the loop. You know, also there's, you know, just some exciting stuff about that because there's going to be some different filming stuff that we might end up doing with the Hack Across America guys. I'm hearing some rumblings about drone work. That is in the works. But I digress. This is a golf podcast, so let's go ahead and get into that golf. But first and foremost, Rick, buddy, what do we got in sports history?
We're not going to go too deep because we've been kind of talking about everything else for a while now. Biggest thing I saw on Valentine's Day is, where was it? There we go. 1973, Muhammad Ali beats British heavyweight boxing champion Joe Bugner by unanimous points decision in 12 rounds at Las Vegas Convention Center.
Man taking,
I feel like that's just relevant because he's like the best boxer of all time. So,
yeah. I mean, not only is he the best boxer of all time, so a lot of people claim that he's the best athlete of all time. I would like to say, maybe not so much, but you know, I think it depends on what you consider a great athlete to be. But yeah, definitely, that's a lot of rounds. Have you ever thought about like boxing, and like how that would like that? That sounds hard.
Yes, like I just think about it occasionally when I like just professional athletes in general. Like, you ever just like run up the stairs and like get out of breath?
Oh,
and then you're like,
all the time.
And you're like, how do these people do this?
100%. I am so easily exhausted, it's ridiculous. Especially when it comes to stairs. Did you know that that's not actually like an in shape thing? Like, that's there's something.
Climb as many stairs as you want, and you will still be out of breath.
Yes. Why am I always out of breath when I walk up the stairs? Here we go. Even if you consider yourself in shape, it's still normal to feel out of breath after climbing stairs. That's because you're transitioning from a resting state to a high-intensity exercise quickly, and your body needs more oxygen to deliver to your muscles, hence why you start breathing heavily. So don't worry, folks.
Yeah.
You're totally fine, most of you, at least. You're not out of shape. Just stairs are hard, and your body...
Yeah, listen, I was doing the stair climber for a while because I was, like, kind of out of lifting for a little bit. I was doing, like, I was up to, like, 30 to 45 minutes a day on the stair climber, and we went on our cruise. And the first flight of stairs we climbed up, I was dying. I was like, why am I even doing this at the gym?
What am I training for? What am I training
like, what's stairs the point for? If I just climb up one flight of stairs and I'm out of breath?
Master. I was pissed. Stairs. Don't know what's coming. Yeah, so don't worry, folks. It doesn't mean that you're out of shape. It just means stairs are hard, and that's okay.
True.
But yeah, boxing is one of those sports I've never really been able to get into, mostly because I can't relate to it. Like, I know watching most sports, I could at a horrendous level, mind you, but I could go outside and do most sports, right?
Do not have their coordination for fighting.
No, nor do I have, I think, the face to be able to take a punch, you know? Like, I've been punched before, but, like, not like that. Not on purpose and with strategy involved, you know?
And full force.
And full force. Like, I know that they have, like, the gloves, and they're padded, and their face has whatever lubricant they throw on there for the, like, punches to kind of work it's off a bit more. I think
it's mostly just Vaseline.
I think it's just Vaseline, yeah. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, these guys are trained to punch you really hard and with strategy. So in places that getting punched is going to hurt, you know? Yeah. The kidney punches, I would hurt more.
No, thank you.
Face, you know? Yeah, I don't want to start bleeding internally from the kidney. I'm all right.
No, thanks.
This is why we're a golf podcast, a non-contact sport. Very much not going to injure myself.
I gave up contact sports a while ago.
Yeah, we left contact sports back in college, and probably for the good health and safety of our bodies. Thank goodness.
I don't know about that.
Even though we're about to do a Spartan race, which could argue is a contact sport. But
my problem is the concussions are still there. Like, I got hit in the head with a 2x4 the other day, and I got dizzy and, like, started feeling nauseous.
Yeah. Hold on. So you got hit in the head with a 2x4, like, by somebody carrying it, or tell me you walked into a 2x4?
It fell on me.
I can see either situation.
It fell on me.
Okay, it fell on you. All right. Yeah. All right, that's fine. That's fine. But...
You ever had a 2x4 land on your head, though? That hurts so bad.
Like, I've had it land on, like, my toes, and that's, like, really painful.
Like, it hurts so bad for some reason.
Well, I mean, something in your head is not supposed to feel good. I don't think it's a feel-good moment at all. And 2x4s aren't soft.
Yeah, also, we don't wear hard hats like we're supposed to, so.
Well, see, that, you see, you wonder why you're supposed to, Rick. It's called health and safety, okay?
See, I didn't get OSHA training at my job, though, so.
Look, if OSHA gets a handle on this episode, you could be fucked, buddy. I'm not going to lie to you.
If OSHA gets a handle on this episode, I'm just not going to have a job.
Yeah.
Because my boss is going to lose his business. Because no one at that company has been OSHA trained.
Oh, no. Not the OSHA violations. You know what to me is an OSHA violation?
What?
The amount of people and the dangerous things that happen at the 16th hole at the Waste Management. That is an OSHA violation, but one that I can most certainly get behind. I saw this TikTok, for those of you that are on TikTok. I saw this TikTok of like a day in the life of attending the 16th hole at the Waste Management. So your day starts in line at 4:45 in the morning, right? Just you stand out there with hundreds, maybe thousands of other people.
That's
for the back of the line. Yeah. You get there, gates open, mad rut. You're sprinting to wait in another line because the back nine has yet to be opened up.
Yeah.
And you're waiting there. At about 6:30 a.m., that second line will let loose. The floodgates will open. You sprint to the 16th. You try to find a place to stand, which, by the way, there are a lot of places to stand, but it is packed to the gills. And you are there all day long. Concessions opens at 9, and that's when the beers start flowing. And then you start making a cup snake. And when I tell you, this cup snake was the most glorious thing I have ever seen. It had to have been at least 25 to 30 yards long.
That's impressive.
It was incredibly impressive. And what's funny is the back and forth. So the 16th has like your general stadium seating where the normal people will sit. But also there's the rich people booths across from the normal people. And you can see each other clear as day. It's not like it's very far away. So it was funny because the video, like, they had like rich people like try to chug and they're all booing them. There was no hole in one this year, but the 16th hole is still one of the most exciting holes in golf, and just every year it shows that it's one of the coolest experiences you could have as a golf fan. And I was talking to Ellie's dad about this, and we talked about this last week. It is $75 to attend. And you could get, as long as you're committed to being up that early, you could go to the 16th hole and sit in those seats if you wanted to for 75 bucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's not bad.
No, it's not.
For an experience like that, that is not bad. Especially if you were there last year for the Sam Ryder hole in one and that moment. Yeah. You know, you paid under $100, and, you know, we talked about this last week, but the comparison to the other event that was in town where in order to have nosebleeds it was $5,000 is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
In all honesty. But that's got to be one of those things that I would consider a bucket list goal, is to get to the Waste Management.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely want to get there at some point. I forget. I think I was watching on Saturday, and they were saying the people that were first in line to get to 16 were there at like 1 a.m.
Yep.
Which is insane to me. That's really early.
I understand it. Like, I get it, but that is some commitment.
That is commitment for sure. I do have a question regarding the cup snake that you mentioned.
Yes.
A little bit. I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist at times. So I do have a question for you. Was the cup snake invented by janitorial staff? Okay. Think about how easy the cup snake is to clean up. You just break it up into sections and throw it in a garbage can.
See, I hear you,
like,
there.
Did someone on the janitorial staff be like, guys, stack all the cups and see how long you can get it? Because then when they got to clean up, they just go around, all right, here's 15 cups, just throw them right in the trash. They don't have to go up and down the aisles. They don't have to go looking all over the place. The cups are all in one spot for them.
You know, I've never thought of it like this, but you might be onto something.
Like, I feel like it might, like, because, okay, so you're at a random event. There's a bunch of drunk, like, college kids there. You're telling me, like, when we're in college, if we're, like, drunk at, like, a sporting event or something like that, and someone comes up and whispers in our ear, like, stack the cups, see how long you can get it, we're not doing that immediately?
100%.
Like, 100%. I don't care who you are. I'll do it. Let's
go. That sounds like a great time.
So
everybody's yelling from across all places, bring cups.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's cups.
Exactly. Makes their job for cleaning up so much easier.
Shit, you're onto something here, because I could clearly imagine, like, one of the smartest janitors on planet Earth being like, yo, you should stack these cups together and see how big it can get. And some just 20-something-year-old being like, oh my fucking god.
Oh my god, that's such a good
idea. We're doing this right now.
This is gonna be legendary.
There is no one more committed than some 23-year-old who's hammered to making a cup snake. There is no one ever going to be as committed as a 23-year-old drunk who wants to make a cup snake.
Exactly.
It's going to happen. And really, you're right. Break it off into 15 pieces at a time and just pop her in the old trash can.
Yeah.
And actually, it's the Waste Management anyways. Back up the dump truck.
Yeah.
Put the whole snake in
there. Throw the whole snake in there.
Problem solved. Easy, like, you know, peasy. How the trash trucks kind of just like scoop the trash that you just dumped in the back? Yeah. Just like kind of hold it, get a couple people to hold it straight, and just let the trash truck chew it up.
Yep, exactly. Probably saves you like half the cleanup time.
You got to think that saves you an hour.
Yeah, at least.
At minimum, you're getting an hour saved on cleanup time. And then you can really focus on the important cleanup, you know, the puke over here and all that.
Yeah, exactly. That's
because the cups are done.
Exactly.
Wow.
Especially because I saw at going into Sunday, they estimated 7.2 million beers were drank. You imagine cleaning up 7.2 million cups?
Is that just like in the city of Scottsdale? Or?
No, like at the Waste Management.
That's insane.
Like, that was what they estimated going into Sunday was the amount of beers drank Thursday to Saturday.
So, wow. That is a lot. Like, I understand it's a 4-day tournament and there's like hundreds of thousand people that attend every day, but that is an exorbitant amount of beer.
Now imagine all of those cups condensed. You know how much time you're saving?
Into one snake? Could you imagine? That's immaculate. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, Yeah, that would definitely interfere with some of the holes if it was the full snake. There's almost there's not enough space in between to put all that cup snakeage.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'll tell you what, other than the fact the 16th hole is and will always be the coolest hole in golf, the Waste Management also did not disappoint. Scottie Scheffler defends his Waste Management Phoenix Open crown, getting the W at 19 under, fending off the rushing towards him, Nick Taylor and John Rahm. This kind of tournament here, where Scottie was in form and in very nice form, not shooting a 70 at all, and his highest rounds being a 68. He was in immaculate form. You got to give it to the Canadian kid, Nick Taylor, taking it to him on Sunday. Yeah. That was fun to watch, man, because they both shot 65. Unfortunately, Nick was just two shots off from three rounds beforehand. But Nick Taylor really gave Scottie Scheffler a run for his money, and that's the kind of stuff that I like to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Rahm was right there until he hit the ball in the water on, what was it, 14 or 15 when he hit the ball on the water?
Yeah, I think it was 15.
15? Yeah. So he was right there, too. So it was a close three-way, like, match. And they were the final group, too. So it was, like, a really fun time to watch that final group going up to even all the way up until, like, hole 17 or hole 16 when Nick Taylor kind of lost it on the par three. I do got to ask you, though, because he did lose it on 16, basically, when he fell two strokes behind Scottie.
Right.
How disappointed are you if you wait all that time to go to 16, you're watching it all day, the final group gets there, and not a single one of them hits the green?
Not a one.
Like, how disappointed are you?
Like, not only are you guys the final group, right? You're playing the best this weekend as to why you're in that situation. Yeah. These are the last three shots that we are going to see this year at this year's Waste Management. These people might not get back there next year. Maybe never again, right? These are the last three shots they're going to see at the 16th. And not a single one of you as a professional golfer can hit the green on a very normal par three. Like, it's only 175 yards, folks. The only thing that makes this par three that difficult is the stadium part.
Yeah. Like, Scottie was the leader, and he had to move his ball because it was so close to the stands.
Yep.
Like, I'm so disappointed if I'm one of the fans in that scenario, because, like, you're like, this is great. We've already seen people get within a few inches of the hole. Now we got the three best guys this weekend coming up to hit. Like, my expectations are so high, and then none of them hit the green. You're like, oh, okay.
Great. Thanks for that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things, though, where, like, that really just proves that, you know, I was golfing with somebody on Saturday who, this was the second time ever golfing, and we're on the second hole, and he putts it, and he didn't really read that it was uphill. So it came up incredibly short, and he just stares at the golf ball and he goes, "Golf is a fickle bitch." And I was like, "That's that's incredible." That's...
Is this person on our team?
No. I don't know if you've met TJ, but TJ is a good dude.
I don't think I have.
So funny, because it, like, for somebody that hasn't, like, read a lot of greens, like, you probably aren't reading into the whole uphill down.
No, definitely not. No.
Too much. So he's like, all right, you know, putt moves a little bit left or right. I'm going to go that way. And it didn't even get halfway there. Yeah. It was just really funny when he just stares at the ball and goes, "Golf is a fickle bitch." And I'm assuming that's what the rest of them said there on that par three. I mean, all in all, you really could say this final group on Sunday, it's not like they had incredible days. Like, John Rahm hit a 68, and then Nick Taylor and Scottie Scheffler hit 65s. Like, they weren't blowing us out of the water. They weren't doing, like, Rory McIlroy goes 14 under in a round type of deal, you know? Like,
yeah. I think the low of the week was 63, right?
Yeah, low of the week was 63. Really, you could have said Scottie pretty much had the win in the bag after the eagle on 13.
Yeah.
Once he eagled 13, you're like, oh, okay. So that's, you know, that's how that's going to go. Got it. And that's fine. Also, folks, I got to bring this up because this is just, it's So, you know, you remember the app thing, and we were saying, like, the PGA Tour did an incredible job with the app. Okay, the official website now looks and acts exactly like the app. And I got to tell you, on a full computer screen, even cooler. Even better. Nice. The TourCast thing, even better on a computer screen.
I don't know if my computer can handle that right now, so I'm going to have to take your word for it.
Yeah, definitely not yours. Don't do that. Then yours is going to blow up. But those of you that have normal working computers, go right ahead. Once he hit that eagle on 13, it was pretty much over. But I want to ask you a little bit about the 13th hole, because obviously we talk about the 16th hole all the time because it's one of the coolest holes in golf. So not really a whole lot of the other holes on this course get a whole lot of love, right? First of all, the hole where John Rahm ended up hitting the water, 15.
Yeah.
That hole alone, very cool. So much water all over the place.
Yeah.
The entire left side is water, so you have to avoid that 100%. And then it's a par five, so realistically, you want to get on in two. And you can try if you would like, because it's an island green. I think every TPC course has an island green or something like that. Because obviously there's the famous one at the Players. I think it's the 15th at the Players.
No, it's the 17th at the Players, isn't
17th?
It?
17th? Okay. You know, that island green, very famous. But this one also has a very nice island green on a par five. Uh-huh. And now that's where kind of John Rahm ran into trouble. He was like, I'm going to go for the green and two. Winds up hitting the water and, you know, pretty much takes himself out of it. But that's the kind of stuff that you have to try for on a Sunday. And that's why I think probably my second favorite hole on the course is the 15th, just because of the amount of water going on. And when you really like take a step back, it's almost a carbon copy of the hole 13 par five, but they just put water everywhere.
Yeah. And you mentioned that was where he lost it. But at the same time, if things had gone well for him, that was where he would have gotten himself into a fighting chance to win the tournament. So it's one of those things where, like, it's high risk, high reward. But he was what, like, three strokes back at the time? So, yeah. Like, you have to take that shot.
Yeah, if you don't, you know, there's really no realistic chance that you're coming back, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And especially with where the purse was this week, like, I'm taking that shot every day of the week. I didn't 100%. Look at the earnings. Did you see the earnings for everybody else? I know Scotty won $3.6 million because this was one of the events that they raised the purse on.
Yeah, but, so this is one of those events that we were talking about. That's the premier events. There's going to be a handful of those. I believe 20 events this year are premier events where they've raised the purse. So, so Scotty won $3.6 million. I'm going to see if I can't find the earnings.
I got it. Nick Taylor won $2.2 million. In second place, which is like more than first place usually wins.
Yeah.
John Rahm at third even won 1.4. But think about it. Even if he comes back to second, he's making 800K more. So right. Like that is a shot that you have to take, especially because John Rahm has money. It's not like the money's the problem for him. Like he's worried about winning and getting more wins under his belt. He's not worried about falling back and getting fourth or fifth and only making 800K. Like, the money's not the problem for him. So, like I said, you got to take that shot. And if he makes it, who knows? He might end up making more than twice as much as he ended up making, depending on how the rest of the round went. But yeah, the purse for this was insane.
Yeah, 100%. And this is what's kind of going to be cool with the highlighted events, with the signature events that they're doing, is because a guy like Nick Taylor, who has not won, I'm looking at his day to golf right now, actually, has not won a purse like that in his career, right? In his last 25 starts, he does not have a win, and this was his highest finish of his last 25 starts. And he won that much money. That is career-altering type of money for a guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's made basically 2 years worth of his PGA Tour salary. If you look at, you know, his last two seasons, he's pretty much made all of his money and then some. it is one of those things where it's a cool thing could happen where a guy who isn't known very well can win a metric fuck ton of money. Now, also the only, you know, unfortunate bit is with these bigger events are going to come all the big names. So you got to compete with all of them, but this is the cool stuff that we like to watch in golf. But Scottie Scheffler winning $3.6 million. Did he need it? No, but that's another W under his belt. And you know, you look at his last 25 starts, he's got 6 wins in there. He's got a green jacket. He's got 14 top tens. And he's back to world number one. Is what Scotty is doing right now, do you consider it Tiger-esque?
No. Not even close. I don't think anything that we ever see in our lifetime is gonna be Tiger-esque.
It's really
he's obviously playing out of his mind right now.
Right.
But Tiger was so good in his prime.
Yeah, I mean,
that stat about him being world number one for like 690 weeks or something like that.
Right.
Is insane. And like Scotty just regained world number one. Like he lost it for a little bit. Not that Tiger didn't in the span at some point, but like I forget exactly what the stat is. I should probably look it up so I stop just fumbling over my words. But like, do you remember what it is off the top of your head or no?
What the how many weeks it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it was something absolutely insane. It was like if somebody spends like 180 something weeks and like in first, they still have to catch up like 87 some weeks. Yeah, it's a how many?
Well, here, so let's put it this way anyway. Most weeks at world number
683.
Yeah, most weeks at world number one, Tiger Woods, 683. Second, a guy that's not even playing anymore. He's on the LIV Tour, 331 for Greg Norman. Rory is the closest right now, and he's only at 95. Like, that's bonkers.
That is banana lands.
So, as good as Scotty's playing right now, don't get me wrong, big Scotty guy, I love watching him golf. He's a good person, he's a fun person to root for. He's not even close to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods in his prime would be smoking Scottie Scheffler right now.
Yeah, that is true. I feel like the question just had to be asked because, like, as of right now, he is the epitome of a guy like that on tour right now. Somebody that is just
he's the closest that we have. Yeah.
Right. And what's so great about it is the fact that the way he does it every time is just with 100%. Full commitment to being consistent. He might be arguably one of the most boring golfers to watch on tour. Love him dearly. We push for him all the time. Great guy. His game is boring to watch because of how consistent it is. There's really not much excitement in Scottie Scheffler's game other than his little shuffle when he drives the ball. That's really about it. You know, the consistency is absolutely wild. His approach is a full 3 strokes above average onto the tour. He smokes everybody in greens and regulation. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. There's a direct correlation to the amount of times you hit a green in regulation to the amount of times you get top 10s, top 5s, and wins. There's a direct correlation. And it looks like Scottie Scheffler has just unlocked that in his brain. He's like, oh, if I always give myself a birdie opportunity, I'll win tournaments. Like, how many bogeys did he have? He did not have many bogeys this week. One sec. I'm going
to
look this up.
While you look that up, I have one more quick stat for you to not to just keep shitting on Scottie Scheffler. But he has what? Six wins in the last calendar year.
Yes.
So the number like the most wins in a year is Byron Nelson in 1945. He won 18 times. Which is
jeez.
it literally starts off the article saying when many potential rivals were in military service, so I guess they don't really count that. But anyway, Tiger Woods has done that at least three times more than that. So in 1999 and 2006, he won 8 times in a year. Right. In those years, he won 8 times, and then in the year 2000, he won 9 times in a year. So He's definitely approaching that territory.
He could get there. Conceivably, he could.
Yeah. Now, this doesn't have anything, doesn't say anything about how many seconds Tiger Woods has, because he probably has a million of those. Right. But the fact that he's playing as well as he is right now, and he's still two wins behind a calendar year number of wins for Tiger is like,
right.
It's like, it's crazy to just think about how good Tiger was in his prime, because right now we're like, Scottie Scheffler's the best golfer like ever, like is what it seems like. And he's just not even close to some of these guys.
I know. And it's really, it does go to show like how above and beyond Tiger was to any other possible golfer in the past or the future, probably. But man, Scotty right now is playing at a level that we haven't seen in a very long time. And I just looked it up. He bogeyed twice this tournament, and both times he didn't hit the green in regulation. Right. There's a direct correlation to greens in regulation and approach game and winning tournaments. And I really think that that's something that should be highlighted if, you know, you're an amateur golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you really have to look at what he's doing and be like, okay, he's definitely one of, if not the best golfer on tour right now. But then that begs the question, who is your top three? We just watched a Super Bowl that had the two best teams in the NFL. Some could argue that there was a team in the final four of the NFL who could have been in that position. Both teams, even all four. Who is your top three on tour right now?
Right now, Scotty's got to be number one. And then I think I got to go John. I think I'm having trouble picking between Rory and John Rahm right now.
I do think the consensus does have to be that it's Scotty, John, and Rory. The only thing is, what order do you put them in? I think
Scotty's definitely one. I think Scotty's definitely one. And then I think you can make an argument for Rahm or Rory at two and three.
See, I'm thinking like I could see an argument where you're putting John Rahm at number one with how he's been playing recently.
He's been consistent, I will say that.
I mean, he's won five times in his last 25 starts too. Let's not get that confused. Yeah. I mean, they're not all PGA wins like Scotty's is, but they're still wins nonetheless.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rory's getting it done too. Let's take a look at what he's done in his last 25. Oh, yeah, look at that. Four wins and then obviously a FedEx Cup championship. Like,
yeah,
these guys are definitely the best three on tour right now. I'm having a hard time putting them in places. I do want to argue that John Rahm is the best right now.
Okay.
That's just because of the wins.
I think you put him head-to-head, though. I think Scotty comes out on top because I think he's the most level-headed of the three of them.
I agree. Rory and John, they can ebb and flow with the emotions.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason that I'm putting Scotty at one, just because I think he's, like I said, he's the most level-headed. I think if you were to put them in a vacuum and have him do like a three-hole playoff or something like that, or maybe even a few more holes, like I think Scotty comes out on top just because I think he's the most in control of his emotions.
Right, and the beautiful thing about what he's doing right now at, you know, with how calm, cool, collected he is, he's 26 years old, dude. He's our age.
Yeah.
That is somebody our age, graduated high school in 2015, that is doing stuff like this, cool as a cucumber, you know?
Yeah.
Where John Rahm's also young. He's 28, but he's a bit of a hothead. He's, you know, the spicy Spaniard, as he's been called. And Rory McIlroy, he is a grizzled veteran. Do not get me wrong, but remember, he almost tore his shirt off his body last year.
Yes.
You know, let's not forget when he did that, right? So, you know, with Scotty being so calm, I do kind of agree with you. If it was a three-way head-on head, it was head-to-head, right? I do think Scotty comes out on top. Man, that's so weird to say in comparison to, like, John Rahm and Rory McIlroy. Scotty Scheffler would be better than the two of them. I think I am going to go Scotty, John, Rory. That's how my top three would go.
I think that's where I'm at too.
Which is so awesome because, you know, just like the fact that Scotty and John are so young, and then also the old guard of Rory McIlroy is still right there holding on to a top three spot. is great to see, because it means like the passing of the torch as far as your big names on the PGA Tour, guys that, you know, can break records, move needles, and who could be the guys for years to come, is happening seamlessly. There's like no gap. There's no bump. You could argue got a little worrisome when Ricky Fowler started shitting the bed, and so did Jordan Spieth. But then we got these kids, and you know, these aren't even the ones that are even younger and more exciting. Your Will Zalatoris, your Tom Kims. Like,
I'm glad you brought up Ricky Fowler, because we have another confirmed case of someone listening to our podcast.
Indeed.
Of the 10 people that listen to our podcast, all of them are PGA Tour golfers. Did you see his Sunday get up this week?
Yep.
No cream pants, no cream shoes, normal gray. The cream shirt, the cream hat, it's fine. But yeah, it's a good look. Pants. It's not bad.
Dude, and the shirt was that, but it was a white and orange creamsicle. Yeah. It wasn't just full creamsicle.
It's not bad. Like, that's it's a little bit more professional looking. And guess what? You got a hole in one.
Look what happens, Ricky. Look what happens when you don't look like you got picked off of a tree in Florida. Where you don't look like a whole orange. Yeah, look. When you change up the outfits and you listen to the advice that we give you, good things can happen, Ricky. And didn't he finish in a pretty good spot, too, if I'm not mistaken?
Top 10, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, when was the last time you copped a top 10, Ricky? Come on now.
Been some time.
I can look this up. Last 25 starts. He has a confirmed three top 10 finishes, with a T2 at the Zozo this year and a T6 at the Fortinet last year. And then this T10 at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Look, all I'm saying is if you calm it down with the creamsicle a little bit, we might see some winning golf out of Ricky Fowler, which would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his stats for this year. He's played in 7 events.
Right.
4 of those events, he's been top 25. Sorry, 6 of those events, he's made the cut. So he's only missed the cut once.
Right.
4 of them, he's been top 25. 3 of them, he's been top 10. And he has a second. It's not bad. I mean, I don't think we're going to see the Ricky of old, but there's a chance if he plays this well again next week, or I don't know about next week, but in one of the coming weeks, he might be back in the Masters this year.
Which would be cool. Don't get me wrong. We've never rooted against Ricky. It's just we were rooting for him to mature beyond being the creamsicle dream that he is, you know?
Yeah.
Just such a weird way that this transpired. It was like he was really fun to watch. The orange was funny. He looked like a teenager.
When he was a teenager, it was funny.
Now he's a grown man, and he hasn't given up on the orange bit. So it's like time to progress forward, which it appears he's doing, and it's helping. All righty. Well, let's get into the final bits of the episode here. Fantasy golf, folks. Just had the first week, the Waste Management, and I'm just smack dab in the middle here. So I said last week, we went with Max Homa and Xander Schauffele. I'm not going to lie, on Friday, I was feeling pretty damn good because they were both top 10. And Xander was top 5. X did not
give it to you.
X didn't even come close to giving it to me. The man choked so aggressively. Outside the top 10, Max Homa didn't really do anything for me either. The vibes were so high. Okay, no, sorry. Xander Schauffele was tied 10th. Right.
But he was Max Homa was the one that fell off. He got T39.
Yeah, Max, buddy. When I saw the chip land back at his feet when it rolled all the way back, I was like, damn it, Max.
Yeah.
The vibes were so good on you right now. And you just spat in my face. But we didn't have as bad of a week as a couple of other people. So we're in 8th place out of 15 people. So what this means is there's room for improvement. So what we're going to do now.
Wait, before you get into that, I got to know the last place team. Who did they pick?
Okay, let me take a look. Got to go to the spreadsheet. Yeah, that's right. We have a spreadsheet for this. All right. So there he was. He went with Billy Horschel and Ches Reavie.
He knows nothing about golf, I'm assuming.
I guess, because he totaled 109.
Ches Reavie hasn't done anything of note recently.
Ches missed the cut.
He hasn't made many cuts recently at all.
No, no. Yeah, that's ugly.
I was just kidding. Billy Horschel's not like a horrible pick because like he might do something, but Ches hasn't done anything.
This one's one of my favorites. I mean, these two guys did wind up making the cut, but just really blows my mind how we're making this decision. Webb Simpson and Gary Woodland. What? I mean, last year Gary Woodland had a little bit of a fun run there for a little bit, but what are we doing?
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Somebody else went Tyrrell Hatton and Luke List? What are we doing?
You want to hear some Ches Reavie stats real quick?
Yeah, hit me with as many of those as you could find, because that's hilarious.
We'll go career, because okay. Career, I feel like, is where it's really like, why the heck are you even considering this man?
Yeah, why are you here?
So he's played 375 events in his career.
Yes.
You guess how many cuts he's made in his career?
I'm going to say four cuts.
In his career?
How long has he been golfing for?
375 events. You think he made four cuts? He wouldn't be on the tour.
No, he wouldn't be on tour.
That's how many cuts he's made this year. So that's a good guess as far as that goes.
Okay, so I'm going to say 55.
He's made 230. So he's made an okay amount of cuts.
Okay.
Top 25s. Top 25s. He's at 82 in his career.
Okay. That's
375 starts.
That's not top, great.
Top 10s, 29.
Oh.
Third place, 3.
Let's go, Ches.
Second place finishes 3. And 3 career wins. Why are you picking this man? He's played 375 events and he's got top 10 29 times.
Man, that is no bueno. Yeah, that really makes you wonder what we're doing with that pick, huh?
Yeah. He's played 10 events this year and made 4 cuts.
Yeah,
not my guy. I'm gonna be honest.
No, that's not great. Not great. But you know, it could be said. Could be. That he went for the Hail Mary pass.
Yeah.
And you gotta have a little respect for it. Like a little bit. However, boy did that backfire on you fast.
Oh yeah.
So to look ahead to the Genesis, unfortunately, it appears we started recording too early tonight because Rob does not have the power rankings listed. What I can tell you, however, is that last year's champion will not be defending, as Joaquin Niemann has decided to go to Live Tour. So we will have a new winner this year. The field I would not call overpowered. You could see a lesser known golfer get a W here at the Genesis. Now, if we're just going to forego the power rankings, since they don't currently exist yet, thanks, Rob. The two guys that I went with, and I think you'll like where my head's at here. I went with Siwoo Him, Himothy, Siwoo, and I just love saying it's so much fun. And John Rahm.
I mean, John Rahm. I feel like is a mortal lock at this point.
A mortal lock.
Siwoo Kim's a good one. He was top 25 this week, wasn't he?
Yeah. And look, you're not like trying to pick the guy that's going to win. You're trying to pick a guy that's going to get you a top 25 or a top to get you points because
he was T23 this week. So like, I don't hate that.
Cause your fantasy points are earned by the guy making earnings. It's like a monetary situation. So like, for example, in the standings, I'm in eighth place with total earnings of 572,000. However, first place has 2.3 million. So
no one picked Scotty?
No, he did pick Scotty, and that's why.
So you don't get like their earnings?
No. So I believe the way that it shakes out, if I'm looking at this correctly, right, is, you know, so Scotty made 2 point something or other, and Carter's picks were Oh yeah, also real big shout out to the guy that organized the whole things in first place. Big shock there. Well done. Where's his picks? Yeah, he went with John Rahm and Justin Thomas.
That's so good.
He didn't pick Scottie Scheffler. It doesn't look like anybody picked Scottie Scheffler.
That's weird.
Hindsight is a terrible idea, and I don't know what we were all doing. Wow, yeah, not a soul picked Scottie. Three people rode the John Rahm train, though, which makes sense. Don't get me wrong. Those three people are in the top five right now.
Oh, so you can pick the same golfer as somebody else.
Yes, but up until the PGA Championship, you can't repeat.
Gotcha.
Your pick. So I can't pick X or Max Homa until after the PGA Championship.
I like that.
And now it's fun because you can still it's not like the one guy picks John Rahm and everybody else is fucked, you know?
Yeah. So no, I like that.
It kind of keeps it exciting and fresh, and you can actually get some earnings out of it. But I feel like, yeah, John Rahm's a mortal lock, especially in this field, which isn't really stacked. And with how John Rahm's playing right now, and I don't think Scotty's playing this week. So he's not going to be shaking in his boots, because we all know that Spaniards can't handle the Scotty shuffle. this has John Rahm W written all over it for me. And I'm going to need it, because eighth place, not great. But if he gets if he gets one dub, I'm back in it, baby. I'm there.
Who picked Tiger? Anybody?
I'm not gonna know who the picks are until
gotcha. Someone's gonna pick him.
Someone's got it, right? I was debating it just because it's Tiger.
Yeah, just because it's Tiger.
Important news of note: Tiger Woods will be playing in the Genesis Invitational, which I want to talk to you about because it's a bit weird to me. Because I'm pretty sure we all kind of just assumed that he would be playing in the large events, and the Genesis Invitational, I wouldn't say is the largest event of all time.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of shocking.
I'm wondering if this is a kind of a warm-up event for him. Only thing is, I don't really know what he's warming up for. Because, we got the Genesis. He could be warming up for the Players, but that's, the first week of March. You still have a month in between, Maybe you would warm up with the Arnold Palmer the week before instead of, now. But maybe he's...
Well, the other thing, too, is, last year we saw it took him, a month to figure it out after the tournament, to get back to where he needed to be. So maybe he's in the mindset of let me play this tournament. If I'm feeling sore, I can still make it for the Players because I'll have a whole month to figure it out.
Right.
And if I feel good after a week, then maybe I'll do the Arnold Palmer as my warm up for the Players.
Yeah. And that could be the way that he plans on going with it, which, might be a solid strategy for him. But I'm interested to see how he does in a field that doesn't have a lot of big names, cause he's not playing one major event. So maybe we see a better Tiger version here, and maybe I'm not going to go out on a limb and say a win, especially because, John Rahm's in the field and we have some other big names. But you might be able to see him get a top 25, which would be really cool. Maybe even a top 10 if we're feeling frisky. I don't know.
Ooh.
But I'm feeling a little frisky.
Tiger top 10.
A little Tiger top 10 action. That's probably going to do it for this episode, unless you have any other golf news, buddy.
I don't think so.
Alrighty, folks, as always, thank you so much for listening. The fact that you guys keep coming in, week out, and hitting play on our episodes and listening to the absolute shenanigans that we talk about. We almost were going to have an entire segment on why Hellman's Mayo had a commercial in the Super Bowl and Duke's didn't.
Kind of lame.
Kind of lame that we didn't do that, actually, now that I'm mad at myself a little bit right now that we didn't do that segment. But I got to tell you, folks, the consistent 10 of you, we have some fluctuation, but there's a consistent 10 of you that keep hitting play on these episodes. You guys fucking rock. I wish we had a Patreon so that I could have your names and I could read them, but you guys are awesome. We are so close to 2,000 plays, folks. I mean, we only need 10 more of you. Our classic 10, the ones we love you, right?
Yes.
Get 10 more of your friends to hit play, and we get 2,000 plays. Come on, folks. We are right there. Please and thank you. Go ahead and follow us on our socials as well, on Instagram @FromTheTips_pod and on Twitter @FTT_pod. Like we always say, we are more active on the socials in the summer when we're actually out and golfing and doing stuff. This summer could be a bit different because, Ellie and I just bought a house, so we're going to be doing all that stuff. But we are usually more active during the summer when it's actually – you know, golf season. But go ahead and follow us on those. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.